And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, I think, chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And again, God, we have opened thy word, God, in order that we might find ourselves resting upon it, that, our God, we might have the benefit. So we are to be believing, having faith in what? In the fact that you have said something and you have written something, and we are to believe it and understand it. So, God, here we are. Help us in every way that we might understand and have the benefit of all that you have made possible on Calvary's cross. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise of the first epistle of John, as we have been doing it, and keeping in mind where we are, God is trying to help the believers understand that they're to have a wonderful, wonderful, consistent relationship to himself in the midst of and being in the world, tribulation, trouble, in the world, to have that wonderful resting down upon him. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore, in starting us off a little bit, over to the in the Gospel of John chapter 5, and you remember our Lord helping the people understand, picking up, please, verse 36. 5:36. "But I have greater witness than that of John," said the Lord. "For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him. Him ye believe not." They were not believing, verse 37, that God sent his Son born in Bethlehem of Judea for a human body. He sent his Son into the world. And to what? God, in his infinite foreverness, sent his Son into time that we might know him. Now, keeping that in mind, God always is, and God has given us the privilege of being born on planet Earth to be able to know him. So, God, in your eternal existence, sliding, if I can, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Gospel of John, chapter 20. And you will remember, after the resurrection, in the upper room, and here's Thomas, if I may, Thomas picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 20. And chapter 20, verse 26. "And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, where the spear went. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, unto him my Lord and my God. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, unto them, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and have yet believed. In other words, they never saw anything. So Thomas is what? Thomas is, here's our Lord stepping out of heaven, born in Bethlehem of Judea to die on the cross. Here he is in his resurrected life, and Thomas is able to go and actually contact his flesh, his hands, his side, his hands and the hole in his side. And Thomas is able to do that, to touch the resurrected Christ. Now that's an awesome thing. That's awesome to have that privilege. And, but the Lord said, blessed are they that don't have that, that just believe, that just plain believe me, what I did on Calvary's cross. Now, one other place, open, if I can, to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I may, and in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12, and you would remember, here's the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was given the privilege, like Thomas, Thomas had a special privilege, and now here's the Apostle Paul having another special privilege. Verse 1, It is not expedient for me, to doubtless, to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he's going to tell about his wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relation. Thank God did something for him. I'll read it, I guess. I knew, verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such. And one, caught up in the third heaven. First, second, third heaven. God did something wonderful. God gave Paul an special, unique experience of having a foretaste of eternal life in heaven, to have it in some awesome, wonderful way. And therefore, Paul, what are you going to do? I had this awesome experience. Verse 3. I knew such a man, verse 3, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmaries. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or he that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Was revelations given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul. Now, the Lord came from heaven, and the apostle Thomas is able to touch and understand the resurrected Christ in a most awesome, wonderful way. And here's the apostle Paul giving a special privilege of having a foretaste of God's awesome tomorrow, his future, and God's wonderful person. And God had to not keep him back on earth. And Paul says that, would I like to get up and talk about all those things. But God took him away from me and gave me, by the way of the devil, a thorn in the flesh, physical, so that he could not leave that. And in his weakness, He was to find God's strength in a wonderful way. Now, point. They all had a wonderful experience of tomorrow, of timelessness. In the middle of time, they had a taste of new timelessness. Okay, now 1 John. First John chapter 4. And remember, a simple, wonderful thing God has tried to help us understand, that God, do it another way that may help you. When a little baby comes from the mother's womb, the little baby is just a little baby. And it came. Where did it come from? Nowhere, somewhere, somewhere it came. And here's the little baby. And the little baby is to what? Understand that it came from somewhere. God and man and the man and woman give the body, and God gives the person. And here they are. And the little baby doesn't understand where it came from. Doesn't understand it. But it is there. It is really there because it came from somewhere. Now, God, we came. We came, same birth by birth. We have physical birth that we can have spiritual birth. A simple relationship, child to parents. Not complicated, very simple. Baby, the young child, and the parents. A relationship. Not complicated, not confusing. Simple, simple. That's the relationship God's trying to get across to you and me to help us understand. The relationship God, who created us, wants us to have, that kind of simple, wonderful relationship. Not some way out thing, a wonderful personal relationship. I get the example. Now, it's therefore in the Gospel of John, and we share together in verse 12, 13, chapter 4, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And God used the word dwell, the word dwell to abide, to find residence, to dwell, to remain, to abide, to find your life, like in the branch to the tree, abiding, having the life of the tree in the branch. And therefore, the dwelling, it's all about a simple, wonderful, personal relationship. It isn't confusing, and it isn't something you can't, it's so far out no one could know it. No, God said it's a very simple, wonderful relationship you're to have, we are to have. Thus, so when we read in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Christ died on the cross and died, and he made it possible for us to know him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And we believed and got saved in a wonderful way. Verse 16, God is love. God is love. And he that dwelleth is abiding in love. Has to be abiding in God. You have to be abiding in God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And again, not getting too, but just getting enough to see it. God wants what? He wants to know God is going to go into the heart of the believer, and God wants to know when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive Christ as your Savior. And in the process, God wants you to know a dwelling, a simple, wonderful relationship. And when God is love. And so if you're going to go and dwell, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, you don't have to be a genius to understand that simple words. Simple little words. Saying something way out of this world. God hath told us God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So therefore, when this person gets saved, they have a wonderful relationship to God this way. But while that is true, it also was true that the person, God is love. God is love. They that dwelleth in God dwell in love. God is love. When you say you dwell in God, when you dwell in love, that's God. You're like this. A unique, awesome, wonderful relationship that we're to have to God in a most wonderful way. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would, simple. Back to the baby, back to the child, a relationship. That's what God's after. All the rest of it is there. But when it's done, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, it says it simply. You're to have such an intimate, personal relationship to God, just like that. That's how we have to each other. My person, your person, and we're there. Personal, very personal. Now, having said that, keeping that with that background, we then go to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Where the word perfect, complete, finished, carried to the goal line, cross the goal line, touchdown, you cross the goal line, it's finished. Finished. Our Lord on the cross said, and then he gave up his ghost. He said, it is, remember the word, finished. It's finished. I'm done. Hang on to that. I'm done. Finished. Now I'm going to read verse 17. Herein is our love, our love. Where is our love? We are to go to love him as he loved us. That's what we're doing. And the evidence that is to be seen is you can't see what we're talking about. You have to see the family, the body, the believers that belong to the same Father, same love, same Lord, same life. They belong to the same. That's the evidence. Acts 1:8, the only evidence I'm going to show is that because of unbelief. So here we are, having this unique personal relationship to God our Father in a unique way. Hang on to that now. Herein is our love made perfect, complete, in a most wonderful way. It's reached its goal and complete, perfect will, wanting nothing. Is the word perfect? In other words, the verb perfect. It has some. It has happened, and it stays remained in effect. It's still there. The love that God has to us is made perfect. When was it made perfect? When you received Him as your Savior. When you received Him as your Savior, God terminated and crucified your old nature, nation, a nature. Crucified your old nature so that you're able to go and start in a moment of time. You become alive, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in a moment of time, you have everlasting life. And you're passed, John 5, you're passed from death unto life in one moment. All done. The minute you received him as your Savior. It was perfected. Herein is a love made perfect, complete. Complete, wonderful, wonderful completeness in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Herein is a love made perfect, brought to a goal in a most awesome way. Wonderful, wonderful God, you did that to make it perfect. That's right. And just to sit on that for a minute, go over with me to Ephesians. And in chapter 2, over to Ephesians. Our love in God, Ephesians. And in chapter 2. And you will note, as you turn the pages of Ephesians, you have a unique relationship to God. And you're to be to the praise of his glory, verse 12. Sliding over to chapter 2, just noting, we are perfected, complete, finished. God's done. Where are you finished? Here's the little cups again. Here you are. You're there. You're here, and you're here. The moment you believed, you're here. That's you. And you are in God. That happened. That isn't going to happen. It happened. It's finished. God's done. I'm trying to get that point home. It's finished. Hang on. Now, so Ephesians 2, and God is going to say it all over the place, but just notice this. Verse 4, 2 and 4. Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Great love, God loved us. When did God love us? Before we were ever created. Christ died for us, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Chapter 3. And you would know. Chapter 3. And sliding, if I may, a little bit of the context. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell, abide. Remember the word? We keep reading it, dwell, abide, drive it home. How can you miss it? Except you abide in me and I abide in you, you can do nothing. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Verse 17, chapter 3, by faith, think of what we did in Sunday school. Faith, faithfulness. You're trusting what God has said. You're believing. You're resting by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, you're already there, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So we aren't going to sit down and say, I understand it. No, all you can do is abide in it. If that be the same as, and you and I, we'd all say the same thing. If you and I were to get in a little rowboat and one of those nuclear subs drops us off in the middle of the ocean and puts us in this little rowboat, what would you know in the middle of the ocean? And when you're out in the middle of the ocean, you people know, and I so do I, out in the middle of the ocean, there's nothing to see. You're looking every direction all day long and see nothing. Ocean is big. And therefore, how big our little, here we are in the middle of the ocean. God said, you aren't going to understand it. How big is the water? 7 miles down in some places. Wow. You can't understand it. You aren't going to understand the love of God. You won't understand why this happens, because it's not understandable. And the only way you would understand this is because of God dying on the cross for you and for me. There's no way for us to get this. It's unique. Therefore, Ephesians, verse 3, verse 19. Again, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, God's wonderful, wonderful working in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And over, if we can. And keep going. Well, we'll do a little more. Over to chapter 4. And chapter 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's speaking the truth. God, it's an awesome thing you've done for us. And you did it all. You did it. And we speak it. Where are we speaking from? We're speaking from having a unique relationship to God. That's what we're doing. It's I can't explain it. I'm not going to explain it. I just have it. So do you. You can't be saved without having this. This is what he's done. It's an awesome thing. Now we are there, and hang on, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Chapter 5. You're right next door. Chapter 5, verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering, for a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. What are we going to walk in love? Walk in love. Chapter 6, we're living in love. That's what God's trying to tell you. God is love. And when you're in love, you have to be in God, because God is love. Chapter 6, verse 23, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be to you, and love with faith, and grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ, to love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Sincerity means no corruption, without interruption, no decay, uninterrupted. You have an uninterrupted relationship in sincerity, in the love of God. It's never interrupted. Ours interrupted. I love something in 1 minute, and 2 minutes later, I love something else. Oh, no, I don't love it. This, I love it, I don't. That isn't. The love God has is there. It can't be decayed. It can't be interrupted. It can't be just, nothing can happen to it. No corruption whatsoever, insincerity. It stays the same in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and you know, without turning there, I guess, over to Romans, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. What about the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 4? They lost their first love. So Revelation is written, it's going to go downhill. Chapter 2, 4. The church is there, and doctrinally they do everything right, but they lost their love. They lost the relationship. What relationship? This relationship. Dwelling. You branch got disconnected from the tree. So the practical benefits aren't there. And they need to be there. Without me, John 15:5, you can do nothing. So therefore, God says, They lost their first love. And you know from chapter 2 and 3, Revelation, it all goes downhill to Laodicea, where God isn't outside the door. Outside, they don't have God inside. They got everything inside except God. Outside. Now, having said that, now God, to be in love. And you can't be in God without being in love. And when you say you're in love, you're in God. That's where I live, in the love of God. Hang on to that. Now see that again. God help us to see it. Romans chapter 5, if you can. And you will note, in Romans chapter 5, and picking up, please, directly, you know it. God has us go through learning everything. I'll read it because it's relevant. Chapter 5 of Romans, and verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith, trusting God's faithfulness, God's word, believing what God has said. We have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, and knowing that tribulation, precious squeezings, worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and bearing up under the load patience, it produces a wonderful experience where we have learned, we have a good habit, we've learned something. And having experience produces a wonderful expectancy. We did whatever. Here comes the plumber to fix something. And the plumber comes. We're there looking at something to be fixed, but there comes the plumber. And the plumber comes. He's no problem. Water all over the floor. Water, no problem. He has experience. He has fixed and knows the problem. So no matter how bad the water is, he has a hope of taking care of it because he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in a most wonderful way. Therefore, and hope maketh not ashamed. And the reason for all of this is because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's where it is. Who does that? I didn't do it, and you don't do it. A shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to lock it in. Lock in what? You're in God, in Christ, in love. And you live there. That's what you do. It's the relationship. It doesn't change. It happened the moment you got saved. Not going to be more. You just have to enjoy it, learn how to live with it, and exercise it in the light of our old nature. Chapter 8. And you'll remember chapter 8, and that which you're familiar with, verse 28. Chapter 8 of Romans, verse 28. And we know, what do we know? That all things work together for good to them that are loving God. We love him because he first loved us. Where are we? We are in the love of God. Where are we? Smack dab in the middle of God. Smack dab in the middle of love. And therefore, what do you know? Whatever it is, it has to be good. Whatever it is, it has to be all right. Think of Sunday school. God will not put you through anything. He's faithful to not put you through anything you can't handle. Therefore, what are we doing? We're looking to God, and we know that all things work together for good, to good, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, and you want to add in at this point to us, for unto whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Christ the head, us his body, we're going to be like him. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So God, in your most wonderful way, where God's life is, where God's life is, where we live in God's life. We live in God's love. We live in God, all the same. That's where we live. That's our relationship, a unique relationship that we have. Whenever we have that, when you receive the Lord as your Savior, and Christ satisfies God's righteousness. Christ satisfied God's righteousness when he died on the cross and made this possible, what we're looking at in Christ, so that all we need to be and all that we are not, all that we need to be and all that we are not and all that we have and all that we hope for is in one room in this relationship. When you got saved, God made all of this the centerpiece of your life. You don't know it. We walk around, you never know it. Ah, but that's not true. You want to know it. God wants you to know it. That's what 1 John is about. To drive home what? Would you please understand what God has done on Calvary's cross for you? Would you please understand what happened when you received Christ as your Savior? And we, I got to go, I got to think about it. No, I don't. It's beyond what I can ask or think. I can only have it. The little, back to the little baby, little boy, little kid, little child. The little child doesn't know. But the little child is in the middle of having everything that the family, the father, whatever you have, is in the middle of having it. Having a little kid doesn't understand it. Doesn't understand the dangers, the problems. God does. We don't understand being lost. God understands being lost. We don't even know because we're born dead spiritually. So we don't even know. We don't even know we're dead. We think everything's dead. We don't even know it, God. We're sort of so dumb about everything. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful kindness, all that we need and we have, he in us and us in him. Another way to say that, if you have a fire, like a blacksmith, and I take my weapon, my spearhead, my sword, and I put that in the fire, and it's there. And I let it get hot, and I pick it up, it's all red. The fire is in the sword. The sword is in the fire, right? The fire became one in the sword. The fire did. If you had a sponge, a good sponge, and you take the sponge and you plunge it down into the water. When you plunge it into the water and you take it in the water and you lift it up, the water is in the sponge. The sponge is in the water. True. It's one. One. When you were baptized, when Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, when you were baptized into Christ, you were placed into Christ. We use it. Illustration. Christ, God put you. God put you in Christ and Christ in you. The iron, the sponge, the air, the air. You're full of air. I can say that, right? People say you're full of something. You're full of air. Aren't you? Most of you. You're full of air. And you're in the middle of the air. The air is in you, and you're in the air. You're in the bottom of the ocean of air. That's where you are. Aren't you? People, you don't even know you have air. You have air. Most of you are breathing. You got the idea. It's a relationship. An awesome relationship. Simple and real. If I can, over in chapter 4 of 1 John. First John chapter 4. If I may. And you will note, if you will note, chapter 4, verse 17. We're getting tied up. Herein is our love made perfect, complete, finished. Why? What for? Purpose, reason, because that we may have boldness, free, frank, fearless. Are those three F's that fulfill the word bold, 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 courageous, dauntless. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, boldness in the day of judgment, in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, have boldness in the day of judgment, the purpose that we are bold in judgment, in God's wonderful judgment. Now, so what, tie that together and then do it. Think of, you read in 1 Corinthians. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, and you'll recall. What do you have boldness in? What is it that so stimulates us that we have boldness in the day of judgment? Oh, judgment, fear, fear, afraid, judgment. God's awesome. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful thing, yes. But what do we have? What do we have? Because we are here in this unique relationship. And when you pass on, and God, not right off, but coming up in the future, I say that from a timely position, Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, that's the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, if on that day shall you declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And the fire shall try, test every man's work of what sort it is. So the fire is going to say, if the fire hits wood, hay, and stubble, it burns it up. If it hits gold, silver, and precious stones, it only amplifies because it doesn't hurt them. If any man's, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if you and I goof off, sort of, not you guys, and we sort of waste our whole time here being saved and do nothing, be nothing, if any man's work shall be burned, verse 15, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as by fire. I'm going to test your life. What do you know at least at the minimum? God, are you worried about judgment? No. Why not? You have already been judged. And this doesn't change. He finished. There is no more. I'm afraid, and people should be, they aren't, of the awesome thing. When you go from here to there, you can't fix anything, and you can't change anything. That's awesome. And that's forever. And you're going to be forever. I don't know. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved today. I wouldn't mess around. No, sir. No, sir. I'm not playing games with this one. No, sir. I'm not doing that. Well, can do whatever they want. I'm not going to do it. No. No. God, what are you going to do? You're going to be saved. And you're saved. Are you worried about the judgment? No. No. Are you going to? Boy, God. No. This right now will be big time in his presence. I'm going to be saved. I may be saved. I may not. I may have goofed in my life and loused it up. There's no question. But I'm saved. I'm saved. And I'm safely saved, even as by fire. So you can't mess around. There is no, I don't worry about that judgment. I'm so glad to be there. That's all. And I don't deserve it, and you don't deserve it. But you're going to be there in the most wonderful way. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, but not for me and not for you. Because Christ finished and took all of your what? All of your sins. How many sins have you got left? Okay. You died, you were born, and you started thinking and being and doing. And then you die. Got a gravestone over here. Finished. Now, after you go, when you die, there's no more. Well, everything's gone. Finished. So therefore, Christ finished it. He finished. He took every single sin. And that's why when you read God's word, and no one understand, God doesn't hold sin. He isn't going after sin. He isn't doing that. He's trying to tell you, I died for you already. The price has already been paid. I've finished it. All you need to do is believe me. Believe what I have done for you. Receive the pardon. Receive the pardon. You see? It's done. So the judgment, no. No, I tell you, and you know it. With God, here we are. And all we can do is say, God, here we are. And we're going to go home. Yeah. But God, that isn't going to change. My old nature and how I think will be gone. I don't have to worry about my dumb thoughts. Because this is what you're going to go by. My relationship to you in Christ, in the Spirit of God, that is what you're going to go by. And that's why you're saved, 1 Corinthians 3, by fire. And you're done. And God's trying to say, listen, we're trying to love each other. And then the world says, nah, you don't have to do that. No, and you guys are going to go. Listen, we are so confident and comfortable now, right now. And I don't have to, Thomas, you had an advantage. Paul, you had a super advantage. And our Lord, you, perfect advantage. But I don't have those. What I have is you, God. And when we received you as our Savior, you did something wonderful in us and for us. And you finished it. And it exists. It doesn't change. Morning, noon, and night. God has terminated death. He's dead. He isn't going to go by it. He's going by what he has done. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God gave you his wonderful resurrected life. And that's what he's going to go by, this relationship. That's what he's going to go by. And now, you want to argue with him? Do you want to talk to him? Tell him not to go by it. Tell him how to do it. You can't tell him anything. This is what he's done. And this is what he said in simple, you dwell in me. I dwell in you. You dwell in God. You dwell in love. I can't say it simpler, said God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're a new creature in Christ. I can't use the language any better. There is no better language. I'm done. And you just need to see it. I hope you got a little bit. We had to quit. You got to have boldness. We're going to do it. It's a wonderful thing. Hope the cups last. Get the idea. Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you for, as we just stumble along, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for the simplicity so that our minds can come down to where it's simple English, simple words, simple truth becomes awesome truth. And our God, we thank you. So set apart these moments. Help us understand a little bit each, a little bit, and then a lot. God, it's done. It's finished. And we want to live properly in the light of that so that we don't louse it up and end up with wood, hay, and stubble. God, we're able to go and show our love, that we live in love. We live in you, God. And we love the brethren that are loving you the same way. And our God, we thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.